hardest places to come to is trusting the Lord when that tempest does sweep over and some storms come in your life. Are we really trusting Him as our haven of rest? I know sometimes that can be very difficult. I know I go through it, but man, what a comfort knowing that He is our haven of rest, that we can turn to Him. But we get in ourselves, and you know, Lord showed me today, this week, and I shared it with a couple people, out of Luke 11, verses 34 and 35, and it's talking about the single eye. And the Lord showed me that daily you've gotten your eye off of me. That you don't have a single eye for me anymore. And it says that even that light that's in us can be looked at as darkness. Because I don't have that single eye. I'm not doing what He wants me to do. All looks good. I'm going to the jail. All looks good and this and that. But my eye's not been single. It's not been just on Him. It's not been just fixed on who He is and what He wants. My eye's been here one day and here another and here another. And He says, you've lost that single eye. You've lost that single eye. That light's in you. It's starting to look dark. And that kind of woke me up this week. And the Lord blessed me. I got the new email for the jail ministry. I think I shared it with Pastor and a few other people. And I'm going to be going to the jail. Thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate them. God has just been good. They've given me about 15 times in the jail for this coming up year, which is almost double what I had last year. But that does not even include in the times that people don't show up that I get to go in there.
Amen.
And so I'll be in there quite a bit. I just thank God for it. Thank God we'll be able to get some of these Spanish Bibles. These guys are dying to have them in there. And it was total by accident. I did not want to go. We're in Buffalo. Amy's like, oh, let's just go to this place here. Let's just go look around. I said, I don't want to walk around today. And thank God I went. She goes, do you think they'd have this Bible here? I said, no way. And I mean a stack. When I see them, I'm like, no way. I cannot believe they're sitting in front of me.
Where is this?
Ollie's. Ollie Surplus in Buffalo. I made a stack of them. That obviously they couldn't sell them and nobody wanted them because everybody's into the corrupt. Okay?
Yeah.
Everybody's into the corrupt thing. So the very thing I need is sitting in front of me and I made a stack of them. Like, I'm buying six of them right now. I don't care if I get money or not. I'm buying them. And so I picked up six of them. The church did reimburse me, though I didn't care if they did. And ask Amy, I told her, I said, I'll break the bank to get these Bibles.
Amen.
These are the ones I need. And this is the ones that these guys need to have in there. So there's a whole stack of them there. If the church votes that I can do it, I'm going to go buy up to $300 of them. And they'll be put to good use. And I just thank God for that. Thank God for what He's doing. Even though I've got my eye off of Him, He doesn't have His eye off of me. Okay?
Amen.
I may have gotten my eye. Go ahead.
Are you going to Buffalo again shortly?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Stop by. I'll pay for 10 of them.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And then if you get money from the church, fine. I can be replaced. I'll reimbursed.
Okay.
But knowing how Ollie's works,
that's, yeah.
They may not be there.
Correct. Right.
Amen.
Demand isn't great, but so like I say, if you get Buffalo, go get 10 more.
I sure.
And I'll pay you.
All right. Amen. And that'd be good. And then the church can give it back or whatever, if they vote for it.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. But so anyway, I appreciate that. It's really an important, Dan Truel, who's pastor's friend, he knows all about the Spanish. He knows what's out there. He said, this is the one you need. This is the one I've been using. And from the stories and the testimonies I hear, he's got real converts out there, people that he led to the Lord. And this is the Bible that he trusts. It's the one that he says to use. It's called the RVR of 1960. And I'm telling you, online or anywhere else, it is expensive. And I can see why people won't buy them. For per Bible, you're looking at the cheapest, I think, was 30 up to 50. Per Bible, I just, that's a lot of money to try to. So I got these at Ollie's for 14 a piece. And so it's just a good deal. And I believe the Lord had my wife make me go in there because I was not going in there. You know? But he gave me a message, and it kind of goes with having that single eye. And how many of you in the Bible have ever heard of the people called the Neathams? The Neathams, they're very important to God, though they're only in your Bible 16 times. Okay? But in those 16 times, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, let's go to 1 Chronicles. They're first found in the book of Chronicles. So turn with me, if you could, Old Testament,
the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 9, yeah, chapter 9, verse 2. And I'm going to tell you about these people because they were important enough where God put them in the Bible 16 times. And they're interesting people. And so for months, I would always run into their name. Their name always stuck out to me. And so I was even telling Amy about it a whole lot of times. And I would just start talking to her about the Neathans and that. She'd just kind of look at me like, who are these people, you know, and such. But the Lord just put it on my heart that there's a message in these people. And I think it's important. That's why I brought it up, or else I wouldn't be up here tonight. But I thank God for the opportunity to get up here. 1 Chronicles 9. Starting in verse 1, it says, "So all Israel were reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression. Now the first inhabitants that dwelt in the possession of their cities were the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, and who? The Neathans." You see who they're named with. They're named with some very important people. Okay? And that's how you know these people are an important people to God, because look at the crowd he puts them in with. Now, these are the first ones that go into Babylon. Before anybody else, they're the ones going to Babylon. So all of a sudden, here goes these Neathans. Why is that? They're named with the Israelites, they're named with the priests and everybody else. There's something important with them, and I'm going to show you why they're so important and why God mentioned them in your Bible only 16 times. They're named among some pretty important people, such as the Israelites, the priests, and the Levites. And they, like the others, were the first going to captivity. The second thing that we know of them, that they were important, is they were important for the house of God. Turn with me to Ezra. They're very important to the house of God. I'm going to show you why. God uses them for a job. And we're going to see where this is in the book of Ezra, chapter 7. Ezra 7, verse 23 and 24. And it says, Ezra 7, 23 and 24, it says, "Whosoever is commanded by God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the kings of it and his sons? Number 24, also we certify you that touching any of the priests and the Levites and the singers, the porters and the Neathons," there they are again, "or the ministers of the house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose a toll, a tribute, a custom upon them." So all of Israel, anybody, except for these people that were named, they could have tolls and tributes on them. They were paying taxes, but not the Neathons, not the singers, not the porters. Why? Because they're important in the house of God. So important that God says, whatever's going on with my priests, whatever's going on with the Levites, you're going to give that to them. They don't have to pay that toll. They don't have to pay that custom. They don't have to do that thing. Because there are workers in the house of God, okay? And so it goes on here and it says, and I say, again, their name against what's important people of God who all work in the house of God. "And when the Neathans were counted among those who had no toll or tribute to be imposed on them, two things we know that they did. Ezra 8:17 says, "And I sent them with the commandment into Iddo, the chief of the place of Cassia, and I told them what they should do unto Iddo and to his brethren, the Neathans, at the place of Cassia, and they should go and bring us ministers for the house of God." That was one of their jobs. One of their jobs for the Neathans was to go find ministers for the house of God. And that was important. Do you not think that our pastor and Pastor Hain was important for somebody to get out there and reach them for Jesus Christ, that they may come and minister in the house of God? Of course it was. But you know, this is what the Neathans were used for. And God set them apart for this. God set them apart. Now, he didn't want them to have to be taxed with the tolls and taxed with tributes. Why? Because they were out. Could you imagine where they traveled to try to find men of God in these times? Where they had to go and find ministers to be in the house of God? Hey, anybody would have done it. I mean, you see that over and over again in your Old Testament, where anybody would have went in and tried to be a priest or tried to be something to somebody's God and for money, for filthy lucre's sake. And so they had to go out there, and God trusted them to go out and find ministers for his house. He trusted them with that job. And I thought, that's a pretty important job. Could you imagine that burden? Could you imagine how they had to be with God? Do you think that they had to have a single eye? Don't you think that they had to have God, but they had to be prayed up? They had to be ones that were serving close to God to be able to understand, what would God want? Would God want somebody here? Would he want this type of person there? I mean, they had to understand that thing. Okay? And I'm going to tell you now, as we get on, you're going to see, they knew the law. And they're going to, I'm going to tell you this, they probably knew it almost just as good, if not better, than the priest. And I'll tell you why in a minute when I get to it. And I think that's just why God put these people in there only 16 times. And I'm going to jump ahead of myself and say this. Not one time do you ever see one bad thing ever said about them. They're doing, in all 16 verses, they're doing exactly what God wants them to do when he wants them to do it. Never once are they spoken bad of. Not one time. Not one time. Now I'm not saying they're sinless. They're saying God, he lifted them up. He brought these people up. He lifted them up by one, naming them amongst some important people. And number two, it never says one bad thing about them in 16 verses. Okay, that's quite a bit. That's quite a long, quite a few verses to be put in the Word of God. It was that important to him. I mean, unless you don't look at the Word of God like it's an important thing, which most of America does today, including Christians, including Baptists. Okay, the Word of God just isn't important to them anymore. Okay, they've lost that. Okay, we lose that. We lose sight of that ourselves. Does anybody here that doesn't lose sight of how important the Word of God is? Mm-hmm. We lose sight of that. We try to run things on our own. We find ourselves in a place that we never wanted to be, and here we are. God says, you know what? You don't have that single eye. You're going out there trying to do things on your own, trying to focus over here, trying to focus over there. Matthew 6:33 is one of my favorite verses in my household to help me and my family stay on track. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, not fourth, not tomorrow, not next week. Right now, first thing, you get it done. Okay? First. That's not, oh, wait, I got to go. Oh, wait. No, first. Okay? That's keeping your eye single. Otherwise, hey, I go out there, I preach, I go out there, I go to the jail. Guess what? I'm doing that with a not single eye. I'm doing that on my own, in my own power. I'm doing that with the same pride that the devil had and it cast him out onto earth. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Ain't no different. I mean, when my bubble got busted for the first time. God, you know this ministry can't go on without me. Mm-hmm. If any of you think that you are that important to the ministry, you got another thing coming.
That's right.
I can tell you that right now. The Lord had to show me. It was a hard thing for me to see. It broke my heart to see that. But you know what? It was the truth. I understand that fully. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about him. And my focus has to change. When I go into that jail, I got to be real careful. Because I like to tell them about me.
Come on.
That's not having that single eye. Anyway, let's move on. Go read Luke 11 verses 34 and 35, and just see what God says about that one day. And I think you'll like it. So we see that they're sent out to get some people for the house of God. God, kind of the names. Excuse me, 8:17. So I commanded them to go out to find ministers for the house of God. They were used to help find ministers. And then it goes on and it says another important thing in Ezra 8:20. It says also of the Nethims whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites. How about that? Let's read that. And it says 220 Nethims. All of them were expressed by name. They were appointed for the service of the Levites. Turn with me to Nehemiah 10. Nehemiah 10. Nehemiah 10. Now, there's only one place you're ever going to find out where God tells you what they're appointed to. And that job is to be a help to the Levites. Okay? Go with Nehemiah 10, verses 28 and 29. And it says here, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethims, and all that they had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and enter into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and statutes. The Nethims were the ones doing the Lord's work in the background. Today, everybody's got to have, hey, I'm doing this. Hey, I'm doing that. Hey, I'm down here doing this. Hey, I'm working here. They got to be noticed. They got to be the evangelist. They got to be the preacher. They got to be the Sunday school teacher. They got to be the head cook. They got to be the one who cleans the church. They got to have somebody tell them they did a good job. They got to be noticed and noticed and noticed. Tell me one time that you see the Nethims mentioned when the sacrifices and the blood and all that disgusting stuff is cleaned up, because that's exactly what they've done. They were a help unto the Levites.
Amen.
Who do you think brought the wood in to be burnt for the sacrifices? The priest? Mm-hmm. Who do you think cleaned up all the mess after all the sacrifices? The priest? Mm-hmm. No, the Neophytes. Not one time did they complain about not being mentioned. Not one time did they mumble or groan or complain. You know what they did? They did the work in the background, a very important work, such an important work that God mentioned them 16 times in the Bible, and they weren't worried about somebody patting them on the back. Can't get that in the churches today. Nobody can be a Neophyte today. Everybody's got to be the one, the high one, the first one, and this one, and that one. You know, most churches, you know why this church stayed open? Because of 12 people. That prayed and stayed faithful. When's the last time you thanked one of them for what they've done?
Come on.
We wouldn't have a church today if it wasn't for the Neophytes. Them 12 Neophytes, that's what they are. But nobody can be a Neophyte today. Everybody's got to have that tag, that name, that number, that this and that. And the Lord just smote my heart with this because I was trapped in that myself. Almighty Dale Morey. He said, why can't you be a Neophyte? Why can't you be the one in the background praying? You know, what about the prayer warriors today? We got any more left? A few? A few prayer warriors left? That's what we have that's trying to run America? Why abortions are running rampant? Why are the homosexuals taking over? Because we don't have any Neophytes anymore. We don't have nobody praying anymore. No more warriors. They gotta have a name. They gotta be standing out there as the publicans did and announce their prayers and pray in front of people and make it loud and everybody can hear it. What about Bryson? Ready to clean up behind your pastor? Huh? Ready to shine his shoes and make him look good on a Sunday? Anybody willing to do that? Will I happen to have your name put out there? Somebody pat you on your back? That's what a Neophyte did. Imagine everything they had to do, Pastor. Snuffing dishes, who do you think kept them clean? The bread, you think the priest carried the bread alone? The incense, made sure it was all in order? That's why I say they knew just as much as the priest did. Because they were the helpers of them. They were the helpers of the Levites. They were the ones going in and helping them get dressed in the ephod and all that stuff. They knew it all. Kept it all nice and shiny. Hey, you know, it took somebody you got to do the studying on it. To get dressed in the priest's clothing, it took more than one person. Who do you think was doing that? You ever pray for the man of God? You ever helped him get dressed on a Sunday morning? Because your prayers, you're at home praying and trying to pray for him to give him, that God will give him what he needs? Well, not unless somebody recognizes it. That's the attitude of the churches today. Not unless somebody notices I ain't doing it.
Come on.
I'm not going to do it. Hey, you know Pastor Haynes been talking about the whole parking thing? I haven't seen one volunteer go out there to help park anybody. Not one. Not one. You mean we got to go ask somebody? That's what it's come to, that nobody's willing to volunteer to do anything? You know we need people out there to park cars to help us get this thing going. But you know what? It's going to come down where we got to choose people because not one person will volunteer to do it. It's a shame on us. Shame on us that our pastors have to worry about that kind of stuff. That's the trustees and the deacons to do that, not our pastors. Just saying. The Neophytes, let me just tell you this. I bet you they didn't have to be told anything. I bet you they knew exactly what to do and how to do it. Why? Because they got involved in the background, not just in the forefront. That's what they did. They weren't afraid to get their hands dirty. Somebody's afraid to get their hands dirty because somebody might not notice them. Hey, I'm guilty. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to me. I'm guilty. That's what I wanted. Josh, I wanted to be recognized for going in that prison. You know what God told me? You'll never be able to help anybody with that kind of attitude.
Come on.
You'll never help anybody until you can become a Neophyte. Anybody in here, you may not be called to the ministry. Hey, man, but you got a wife sitting next to you with kids. Until you can learn how to become a Neophyte, you'll never be nothing to that family. You gotta be able to do some stuff in the background when nobody's watching. Hey, I'm just gonna take this ephod off. I'm gonna go ahead and put it in this place. I'm gonna leave it there, even though there's blood stains on it or whatever else. And you're not gonna clean? No, I think it was clean when next time they went to go put it on. Mm-hmm. You better believe it. It was clean. Because they weren't worried about somebody seeing what they do. They were more worried about the service of God. That's what they were worried about. Today, people are not worried about the service of God anymore. It's that position. Oh my God. Thank God our pastor didn't come here for money. Because we didn't have nothing to give him in the first place. Mm-hmm. He came here for the love of people. He came here because he was obedient to God. And you know what? He started out with just a very few people, and more people came. And you know what? He says, I'm not worried about growing in numbers. He was worried about the ones sitting in his pews right then and there. No. He became a Neatham for a while. That's what he had to become. That's what you had to become. Somebody who's willing to come to a country church. Unbelievable. The stuff we get here at Black Creek Baptist Church. Unbelievable. If you're not thankful for it, hey man, I feel sorry for you because you're missing out on a whole lot. A whole lot. We get a lot here at Black Creek. A whole lot of good preaching. I mean, look at the different people. Brother Mike, Neil. I mean, look at everybody we get the preaching here. Different styles, different things, how to run families and do this. My goodness, we get fed so much you can almost want to puke. And I, yeah. Some, you know, but the thing is, a lot of people don't want it.
That's right.
I sent a thing to Neil. He says, you know what? You've seen something in the Word of God. He goes, most people aren't even looking for that truth anymore. You know what? We get so much of it, we want to cast it out. We don't want to hear it no more. We take it all for granted. You do realize that our pastors aren't going to be here forever. Kids, Caleb, Luke, Autumn, all you young people, our pastors aren't going to be here forever. I don't see anybody jumping up to take over the church. I don't see anybody trying to get themselves trained up and be a Neatham so when our pastors are gone, that they can step up and I don't have to worry about it. They can get up here behind the pulpit and know exactly what God wants them to do, know exactly what has to be done, and no one has to train them. They're already done because they got themselves involved in it. Let's just say a Levi got sick. I bet you a Neatham could jump in his place, even though God didn't allow it. But I bet you he could jump in his place and do exactly what was supposed to be done because he knew what was supposed to be done. Because they evolved themselves like that. Not today. Not today. They are very important to the big to the ministry, big or small position, a literal lot or no recognition. People today are not satisfied with the recognition that comes from God. They are not satisfied with the recognition that comes from God, and that includes me. This is why God gave this message to me. It was for me. He didn't say, hey, I want you to go preach this to the people at Black Creek because it's for them. That was for me because I didn't recognize God for what he was doing for me. I wasn't happy with what he was giving me. I wanted more. I wanted to hear stuff from you guys and so on and so forth. And let me just tell you this now. It almost destroyed not only my ministry but my family. Dale said, God said, Dale, until you can go ahead and be a Neatham, you can't help anybody in that jail. You can't help a soul. How can I help him if my eye's not single? How can I go there? He's the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians verses 3 through 5. Say, he's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all mercies. But let me tell you this. If I don't have my eyes set on him, how can I get his comfort? How can I get his mercies? How can I, in my times of trouble, to go and help somebody else? I can't. I can't. I'm getting the world's comfort. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the world's mercy. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody to tickle my ears with their words. You don't ever see the Neathams being told anything. God names them among some great people. That was, you know what the reward was, brother? They were looking for what they're going to get in heaven. They probably didn't care that their name was in the Bible 16 times. It wouldn't bother them because not one time were they worried about. Not one time did you ever hear them complain about a single thing that they had to do. Go ahead and ask somebody to go clean some toilets in here. Go ahead and ask them that. I know because I started at McDonald's cleaning nasty toilets. And if I didn't do it right, God would tear my heart out of me. He still does it. So I try to take shortcuts here and there. He really tears my heart out and says, go back and do that. Oh, it kills me. I'm like, man, I'm tired. Go do it. And I go. And I go. Say, hey, we all know things that have to be done here in this church. Do you have to have recognition for it? Can't you just be a Neatham? That's what it's about. It's about a service to God and his recognition. The Neathams were a vital part of the house of God with very little recognition, save God only, and they were satisfied with that. They knew the importance of the work that God had them doing, and that was reward enough for them. Every little thing you do in this church, somebody may not recognize you for, but God will. Isn't that good enough for you?
Come on.
You know it's not. Go ahead and don't say in your head that it is. Some it might be, but I'm not saying everybody, okay? There's some people who are satisfied with having whatever God gives them, and it's not going to be financial. And you know what it might be? A hard time might come up and God give you a little extra piece, and you know it's from Him. That's your little reward there. Hey, that's not good enough because it's not, don't have dollar signs behind it. Just tell it. Because God didn't get you out of that trouble. I can't be from God. He didn't solve my problem. Well, what about the peace that you have when you're going through the problem?
Man.
That's what He gave you. What about keeping your family together? Oh, the Lord showed me my wife this week. And I sent her a text. I said, we just become complainers and unthankful people, man. Complainers and unthankful people. That's how we treat God. For all He's done to us, and all we can do is complain and become unthankful. Complainers and unthankful. Like little spoiled brats. Little spoiled brats. And we call ourselves grown church people. Shame on us. I said, Lord, now when we sit down at dinner, before we even go anywhere on doing our Bible, I want to know something that you're thankful for today. Tell me something you're thankful for today. I don't care if it's because you're breathing right now, because you ought to be thankful that you have a breath still left in your body. You could be sitting in hell if you're not a saved person. Do you understand that? Do you understand the consequences of you denying God? Do you know do you understand the rejection of God will get you in hell today?
Come on.
And you're not thankful that you're even alive to sit underneath the preaching? Shame. 4 years I sat underneath the preaching, and I'm not boasting. 4 years lost, knowing I'm going to hell. I mean, torturous years. I mean, just hellish years going through it, man. But you know, I was diligent. Because there was nothing else I wanted but to be saved. I wanted to be saved. And I had to have it. And you know what? If it wasn't for me being diligent, I don't believe I would have got saved. Because God, you know what the Bible says? He's the reward of those who diligently seek Him. But you know what I found myself doing so much? Half-hearted seeking. Confessing those little phony things you talked about. Oh, that's it? Oh, that's the one, Lord? Oh, I'm so sorry, for forgive me. No, that wasn't it. Oh, this must be this one, Lord. I'm sorry, forgive me. No, it wasn't that one. Missing, dancing around the whole issue. Proverbs 20:27 says, He puts a spirit in man. Why? God puts a spirit inside every person. Why? The light, the inward parts of the belly. That's what He's trying to show you. That's what He's trying to show you. That deep thing that you have locked away, that yourself don't want to bring out, that's what He's trying to get to. That's that spirit He's trying to awaken and show you. No, I'm not worried about that outward thing. I'm worried about this inward thing. Let's worry about the inward thing. That's what He needs to, He wants to show you that. Don't ask me why I got on that, but there you go. Enjoy it. Somebody needed it. Somebody needed it. Because I didn't plan on saying that. The Bible isn't real clear on the exact job that the Nehathims had to do. But rest assured, whatever it was being done without a big notice or exposure or want to be seen. God doesn't mention their exact work, but neither do you see them complain about God or to God anywhere in the 16 verses. Neither do you read about them being punished publicly or openly for their sins or any rebelliousness whatsoever. You don't see anything about that. I'm not saying they were. I'm just saying God doesn't put that out there. No, I don't believe they are sinless, but I believe they sinned a lot less because the most important thing to them was the work of God. When you have God on your heart, this is why the book of Romans chapter 1 says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. You know why they don't like to retain God in their knowledge? Because the less of God you think about, the more you get away with. Yeah. The more you're free to go out there and sin.
Yeah.
You go ahead and try to not think about God for a day, you Christians, and watch where you end up in 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
That's why there's this world doesn't like to retain God in their knowledge, because they want to get away with all their garbage.
Yep.
Because they know if they thought of God more, they wouldn't do it. They'd become under conviction. They don't want conviction today. Who doesn't want conviction today, guys, who's lost in here? Because I don't see anybody, I don't see many people keeping God in their knowledge. Even Christians, you may not be lost, but go ahead and get rid of God in your knowledge for a few hours and watch where you end up.
Come on.
Watch where you end up. I don't know whose water this is, but I'm drinking it. As long as my lips don't fall off. Okay? They sinned less. Why? Because the work of God was more important to them. They were so asphyxiated with the work of God and doing things. They were so busy in getting involved in the ministry and so on, making sure that everything's going well. You know, the pastor, why he has to worry about certain things, it blows my mind. I go, why does he have to worry about that? Why is he the one that's worrying? Why isn't somebody else seeing that? Why isn't somebody else taking notice of that? You see, because we're not doing our jobs like we're supposed to. Why? Because most of us want to be recognized for what we do. Well, if I'm not going to get recognized, I'm not going to do it. No, you know, I've done that before in a different church, so I'm not going to do it again. That's just a poor attitude. Okay? No matter what, we need to get ourselves sold under Jesus Christ. No, we're doing it for Him. Colossians 3:23 says, do everything heartily as unto the Lord, not as of men. Today's day and age, most churches, man, they're into what man says, they're into man what man thinks, and so they can care less about the Bible. Yeah, I believe in King James Bible, and they go on there and buy them copyrighted messages, and they preach them over a million times to each other. Thank you, Gracie, I appreciate it. They preach them over a million times to each other, and you know what's the same thing, talking to the same people over and over again. Well, thank God we don't get that here. Thank God we have a man who believes in the Bible, who preaches the Bible, who teaches how to study our Bible. And that question that God gave you this morning, if you did read your word, or when you read it later, get after it.
Man.
Get after that thing. Okay? God's got something for you in that. Okay? I appreciate that water. God, not one bad thing is mentioned about them in all 16 verses. We read again in Nehemiah 10:28-29, it says, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nehemiahs, and all they had separated themselves from the people of the lands. That's what the Nehemiahs did, guys. They separated themselves from the people of the lands. Why? Unto the work of God. Hey, I've only been saved just a little over 5 years, but I've been in many churches. And I'm going to tell you this, about 90%+ of the people have one foot in church and one foot in the world.
Yep.
Because they have not separated themselves unto the work of God. The Nathans did. Let's go on and see what it said. It says they separated themselves from the people of the land unto the law of God. That's what they did. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters. Hey, they brought their whole family with them. Are you bringing your family with you?
Come on.
Are you helping them separate? Hey, we have children in here. Can we teach them how to live in this world but not be part of the world? I'm not going to tell you now, as a father who has their kids in public school, that's a challenge. That's hard. That's a hard thing to do. But I'm going to do it. If it kills me, my kids will not be able to blame me and their mother for the choices they make. We're going to show them. We're going to raise them in the nurture and admiration of the Lord. We're going to raise them in the Bible. Whatever choices they make when they're out of my house, there's nothing I can do about it. That's a challenge. But you know what? I want my family to be separated unto the laws of God. I want my family to be separate. I want my children to be able to come up and be able to break that bond that's had my family. For hundreds of years, my family's been drunks, addicts, fighters, and abusers. I want that cycle to be broke here.
Amen.
I don't want to carry on. But I'm afraid. Because sometimes me and my family, and I'm going to confess this to you, sometimes me and my family get caught up with one foot in the world, one foot in greed. And I preached on that a few weeks ago when I said that I was building my house on the sand, that sinking sand. And I've done that to my family. Now I've got to fight my way back out. Because I didn't stay separated from the people of the land.
Amen.
I'm going to just do a few minutes more. I got a few more minutes. It says everyone having knowledge and everyone having understanding. They had knowledge of how things went. They had an understanding of how things had to go. They understood that. How they understood it? Because they studied behind it. They watched the men of God. How many times I've learned things, how to deal with my wife and that, because I watched the men of God and how they treat their family. How the men of God, you go ahead and find the younger people of the day. They don't take care of their wives. I see these older men and the way they do it, just Dick Botans and Paul and all that. I watch how they take care of the wives. I go, Lord, give me the strength to do that. I'm the one that's broke down, but I want to have strength to be able to take care of her.
Amen.
I don't care if my bones fall out of me. That's what I'm going to do to take care of her. And you know what? You guys are more of a testimony to us watching that kind of thing than you guys ever will realize. Us younger people need to know how to do it. You know what? The churches today have lost focus on that. The young men and young women are supposed to, or the older men and older women are supposed to be teaching us young folks. How else are we going to know it? We need that. I need it. Hey, I don't know. I'm not a mechanic. I can't build things. I'm not good with tools at all. But you ask my wife. I try my hardest. Do I not? I mean, I try my hardest to fix things around my house. But you know what? I need somebody who's going to teach me that. I need somebody who's going to teach me the Word of God. Thank God we have it. But you know what? For life skills, as a Christian, nobody's in my house teaching me how to be a dad. Nobody's in my house teaching me how to be a husband.
Come on,
Dale. I need somebody to help me with that stuff once in a while. That's something that older people have to step in and show us, because I can't always do it. I'm not asking anybody to hold my hand, but I'm asking somebody to be a neophyte. Step up when you see a young man or a young woman struggle and help them get through it.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, man. Hey, they say blood is thicker than water. Well, we have the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that thick enough?
Amen.
That makes us family.
I like it.
That makes us family. I'm almost done with this verse. It says, "Cleave unto their brethren." And the nobles, the people above them. That's who they clave unto, the Neothems. They separated themselves and their family. They had understanding and knowledge. Then they clave to their brethren and the nobles. They clave to them. That means that was theirs. They held on to them. That was special to them. And then it says, and they entered into a curse. They entered into a curse for the work of God. Because the people of the lands were jealous, just like they were Joseph. He became a curse unto his brothers. And guess what? When you become sold out to Jesus Christ and the work of God, you'll be a curse to people. And that's what the Neothems have become. And then it goes on to say this, and into an oath to walk in God's law. They made an oath. No matter what, we're going to walk with God, no matter what, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do. That's the important word. You can observe all day long, but if you're not doing it, it's no good. I don't care what promises you make. I tell the guys this, and I'm going to end here. I tell the guys and the ladies in prison, I say, stop telling your people, stop making them promises, because all you're doing is hurting them.
Yep.
Show them. Show them. Actions speak louder than words. Man, if you don't understand that, I'm telling you, listen to me. When you make promises to people, all you do is hurt them. Show them that promise.
That's right.
Show them. That's what this is talking about here. They made an oath to walk in God's law. He says, observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. Observe what the preacher's telling you. Observe what your Sunday school teachers are telling you. Observe the older men and older women. Observe it and then do it. Because when you're not doing something, let me just tell you this. When you listen, something happens. But James says, when you're a hearer and do nothing, you're deceiving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Listening brings action. Hearing brings deceit. There's a difference. Go look in your Bible. There's a difference in that.
Amen.
That's why James uses that word, to be a hearer. And then if you're a listener, you're going to do something about it. But pass on down. That's where I'm going to end off.
I like it. Pastor Haney, why don't you close us with a song? Dale, that was very good.
What is that?
Some kind of iron way, Lord.